Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where today we're going to be discussing, well, you may not think it's a hot topic until I explain it a little further, but believe me, it's a very hot topic. Here's the question. Is the canon open or closed? Trust me, that's a very hot topic. Now, some of you are going, wait a second, is he talking about like a military weapon, that type of cannon? Is it open or closed? No, 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 no. What I'm talking about is the canon of Scripture, the collection of the 66 books in the Bible. That is called the canon of Scripture. And here's the question. Is that canon open, meaning that maybe God will give us a 67th book, a 68th book, a 69th book, and on? Or is the canon of Scripture closed? What do you think? For those of you who are saying it's closed, good answer. You are correct, and we'll get into that in a few moments as to why. But here's a question. When I ask and say and ask you, is the canon closed? Some of you may say, well, there's no way God's going to give new written revelation. In other words, he's not going to give a 67th book, 68th book, and so on. But does that mean that God's written revelation is closed? But what about God's verbal revelation? For instance, does God still speak to people in dreams, in visions, through people's intuition? You see, if you say that God spoke to you, you heard the voice of God, again, outside of the Scriptures, if you say that you heard the voice of God, God spoke to you, you had a vision from God, what you are then saying is that the canon is not closed. Because what you are saying is that God continues to give new revelation, maybe not new written revelation. He won't add any more books in the Bible, but you're saying that God continues to give verbal revelation. And I have to tell you, that's a very, very controversial topic today. Does God still speak new revelation to his people? In other words, does God still speak outside of the canon, the 66 books of the Bible? Now, before we get into that controversial question, in fact, we may make this a two-part series because this is a very, very hot topic. Let's first understand some basic things about the Bible. Now, we know that the Bible is God's written revelation to us. We can know about God generally through creation, but we know about God specifically through revelation, God's written revelation. And God, the Bible, is literally one book by one author, okay? The author is God. However, the book is divided into 66 books. That is the canon of Scripture. The Bible, God gave his revelation, his written revelation to man, during about a 1,500-year period, starting with Moses, somewhere around 1405 BC, and going all the way down to John the Apostle, where he wrote, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Gospel of John, the three letters of John, and the book of Revelation, somewhere probably between 80 to 95 AD. That period there is about 1,500 years. And that is where God gave to us his written revelation. Now, he gave it to us. There are three languages in the Bible. You have Hebrew language, which is the Old Testament. You also have two chapters in the Old Testament, which are in Aramaic, which was the diplomatic language of the time. The New Testament is given to us in Greek, right? That is the original language there for the New Testament. Now, so you've got the Bible, 66 books, right? One book divided into 66 books, one author, God, over a period of 1,500 years, three different languages, and we know that God gave us his written revelation through approximately 40 authors, human authors. Now, understand, God is the source of his revelation. In fact, 2 Timothy 3:16 is very clear. All scripture is God-breathed, God-inspired, all scripture. So the Bible testifies about the Bible that all scripture is God-breathed, meaning that God is the source of all scripture. Scripture did not come about through human ingenuity. Scripture did not come about through man's own will or desire. Rather, as Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, Peter says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in human will. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is key. To combine those two verses hopefully will help you understand two very important things about Scripture. Number one, all Scripture is God-breathed, meaning God is the source of all Scripture. And as Peter said, the holy men wrote as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit, meaning that the Holy Spirit is also the superintendent of Scripture. What does that mean? That means that as he worked through human authors, he protected and was in full control of what was penned. Now, listen, the human authors, God, they weren't robots. God did not take away their personalities. He did not take away their maybe cultural experiences and so forth. No, the Holy Spirit worked through human authors to give to us the written revelation of God. But again, God is the source of Scripture and God is the superintendent. He protected what was written, what was penned, so that what we have is the written revelation of God. Okay? So again, remember these two S's. Very, very important. God is the source of Scripture. God is the superintendent of Scripture. That's why we believe and we say absolutely without a shadow of a doubt that all Scripture in its original, okay, given to us by God, is inerrant, meaning there's not one mistake because God is the one who inspired it. He is the source. Now, we don't have the original manuscripts. The Bible we have today has come down to us through the centuries. Now, we don't say that the Bible that we're holding today is inerrant in its current form. We say that the scriptures are inerrant in their originals, right? Because again, directly inspired by God, protected by God through as the human authors wrote. But the Bible that has come down to us today has very few, maybe copyist errors, none of which change the meaning of the text, none of which contradict the clear meaning of the text. In other words, just as God is the source and superintendent of the original scriptures, God is also the superintendent of the scriptures that have been copied over the centuries and have come down to us. So much so that as we look at, let's say, the Dead Sea Scrolls that were found in the 1940s, it is amazing to see scriptures written on scrolls from years, years, years ago. Literally, let's say the book of Isaiah from the Dead Sea Scrolls, literally compared to the book of Isaiah we hold in our we have in our Bible today, it's exact. I mean, very, very little minor copyist errors on maybe the word and or the word, you know, some pronoun or something like that. Not even a pronoun. That's not even correct. But just on a few words. So we can have confidence that the 66 books of the Bible, the canon, which means norm or standard, the canon we have is the authoritative word of God. Its source is God Almighty. God is also the superintendent and protector of his scriptures. And I wanted to belabor this point because, again, I know a lot of Christians, sometimes don't understand this or maybe just take it for granted. They say, okay, the Bible I have, they go from one extreme to another. They say, okay, the Bible I'm holding is filled with all kinds of errors and mistakes. And therefore, you know, I'm not sure I'm holding the word of God. That's one extreme. Or the other extreme is a person says, nope, the Bible I'm holding is without error. It is perfect. There are no mistakes. God makes no mistakes, which is true, but it's perfect. Da, da, da. Well, that's incorrect also. God doesn't make mistakes. The scriptures are inerrant in their originals. Okay. And so what we have are not the originals, but nevertheless, God has protected what has been passed down to us. So that what we have is are a few errors, not even errors, but copyist errors, and they change nothing when it comes to the text. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay. Real quick before we go to the break, just so you know how the Bible is divided. The Old Testament, 39 books. New Testament, 27 books. Old Testament is divided into five categories. You have the law, which are the first five books of Moses. Genesis, Deuteronomy. You have history, which are 12 books from Joshua down to Esther. You have the wisdom literature, 5 books, which go from Job to Song of Solomon. You then have the major prophets, 5, Isaiah down to Daniel. You have the minor prophets, where you go from Hosea down to Malachi. 12. That is a combination of 39 books. The New Testament is divided into 5 categories. All about Christ. 4 Gospels, life of Christ. The book of Acts, the church of Christ. That's where the church of Christ was, we see the church of Christ launched there in the book of Acts. You then have 21 letters. Those are letters written to either churches or individual Christians talking about how we need to live for Christ. And then you have the book of Revelation, 1 book, which is about the return of Christ. So that's the breakdown of the Bible right there. And we'll talk more about the canon and how we got it after the break.
You're listening to Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic from his church location in Croatia. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go with a support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, where each week Andrew gives the Word of God via live webcast. For more information about service times and directions to Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, please find a link to their site at gracenetradio.com. And now, back to Hot Topics. Here again is Dr. Andrew Vuksic.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Hot Topics, where today and possibly on the next show, we're going to be talking about this very, very hot and very, very controversial topic. Is the canon open or closed? And again, if you were with us on the first part of the show, you understand I'm not talking about a military weapon, i.e. a cannon. I'm talking about the canon of God's truth. The 66 books of the Bible that we have are called the canon of Scripture. Canon means norm or standard. Okay. And so the question is, does God, or let's put it this way. We understand that the Bible is one book given to us by one author, God, right? And within that one book, God has given us 66 books written through approximately 40 human authors. However, God is the source of his scripture and God is also the superintendent of his scripture, meaning he protected what the human authors wrote. So they're in the originals. The Bible is obviously inerrant, infallible. It is from God. And now we understand that the Bible was written over about a 1500 year period, starting from Moses, 1405 BC, all the way down to the Apostle John, somewhere around 80 to 95 BC or AD. I'm sorry. So it's about a 1500 year period. We know we have 3 languages. We have Hebrew, Greek, and a few passages in Aramaic. And we also know how the Bible is divided. 39 books of the Old Testament divided into the law, history, wisdom, major prophets, minor prophets. We also have 27 books of the New Testament divided into the Gospels, the book of Acts, the 21 letters written either to churches or individual Christians, and also then the book of Revelation. Listen very carefully. It is not called Revelations. It is called the book of the Revelation. No S at the end, okay? Don't say an S at the end. because it's like taking nails down a chalkboard for me when I hear that. Also, if you say the word luck, that also is like nails going down a chalkboard for me. Why? Because God is sovereign, meaning in full control. There's no such thing as luck. If we say we were lucky on something, that means it just happened by happenstance. It was by accident, meaning God was not in full control. So don't say luck and don't say revelations. Okay? And that has nothing to do with what I'm talking to you guys about today. But nevertheless, back to the topic. What I want to do for the rest of the show is to discuss how we got the canon of the Bible. How did we get the 66 books? And then on our next show, we'll really dig into this controversial topic. Is the canon open or closed? And again, just to give you a bit of a teaser, do you believe that God is going to give new written revelation? In other words, we have 66 books of the Bible now. Do you believe that God is going to raise up somebody and somebody's going to write the 67th book of the Bible? Somebody's going to write the 68th book of the Bible and on and on. Do you believe that? If you say no, then what you are saying is that the canon is closed, right? That what God has given us is what God has given us. Again, Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. God says, do not add to the words of the scripture. Do not take away from them, because someone will have a huge problem with God if they try to do that. What God is saying is that there is no new revelation, no new written revelation. And I believe most Christians will agree with that. I would say the vast majority of Christians will agree with that. However, when I probe a little deeper and say, okay, you don't believe that God is going to give new written revelation. Good, you're correct in that. But do you believe that God gives new verbal revelation? In other words, does God speak to you in dreams, in visions? Does God speak to you intuitively, from within you? Do you hear the voice of God? Now, if you're saying yes to that, you've got to be very careful. Because what you're saying is that God is giving you new revelation outside of the 66 books of the Bible, the canon. And by saying that, you're actually going against what God said. There are no new words to be added to the canon. God says his canon is closed. And again, on our next show, we'll get into this a little bit deeper. But I wanted to throw a little teaser at you. Most Christians, I hear it all the time. Oh, you know, I heard a word from the Lord. And now, again, how we hear from the Lord is through the word of the Lord. God speaks today to us through his word, by the power of the Spirit. But you hear Christians all the time, and many of them don't even realize what they're saying. It's just this common Christianese phraseology. Wow, the Lord told me, or I heard from the Lord, or I had a vision from the Lord, or I heard a dream from the Lord, or I felt the Lord say something to me. These well-meaning Christians don't realize it, but what they're saying is God is giving new revelation today outside of his Bible. And again, that's dangerous. Can't confirm it. How do you know it was from God? Or how do you know maybe it was just because you had some bad pizza the night before? You know, you don't know. So you've got to be careful with that. But again, I'll get into this more deeply on our next show. But the question is then, if we believe, let's say that the canon is closed, 66 books of the Bible we have, 39 Old Testament, 27 New Testament. If we believe that it is closed, that God is not going to give us any new written revelation, then I guess the logical question is this. How did we get the 66 books of the canon? In other words, how do we know that the 66 books we have are actually the inspired, authoritative, objective, propositional revelation from God? By the way, when I say objective, propositional, what that means is God's word does not come from within us. It's not something that comes from within us. God's word comes outside of us. It is his objective, propositional truth. In other words, you are not the source. I am not the source of God's word. It does not come from within us. It does not become God's word when we agree with it or believe it. No, God is the source of his truth. He comes from outside of us. And whether we believe it or not makes no difference. It is still God's word, right? You know, it doesn't become God's word when we decide to believe in it. Okay, first of all, we don't decide to believe in it. God makes us alive to be able to believe in it, but that's a different story. So again, how do we know that the 66 books of the Bible that we currently have are the inspired, authoritative, objective, propositional words of God to us? Because if you know Catholics, if you know Orthodox people, they say, no, there are more than 66 books. They have an additional 14 books, which are called the Apocrypha. Apocrypha means hidden things. These are 14 books that primarily were written during the period between the Old Testament, the last Old Testament prophet Malachi, up to the New Testament, when God, through the angel Gabriel, spoke to Zechariah, whose son would be John the Baptist. See, that period in between the Old and New Testament, that's about a period of 400 to 430 years. The Apocrypha, the vast majority of those writings, came to us during that 400 silent years in between the Old and New Testament. Okay? Now, the Catholics, as well as the Orthodox, they say those 14 books belong to the canon of Scripture. So they don't believe that the canon of Scripture is limited to 66 books. They say the canon of Scripture, add 66 plus 14, what do you get? That is 80. They have 80 books in the Bible. That is their canon of Scripture. Now, the Protestant Reformation was one of the big issues in the Protestant Reformation is that they said, absolutely not. We do not believe that the books of the Apocrypha are the inspired, authoritative, objective, propositional words of God. Thus, the Protestants during the Protestant Reformation rejected the Apocrypha. And if you ever look in a Protestant Bible, you'll see that those 14 books are not there. However, again, you go to the Catholic Bible, you go to the Orthodox Bible, you'll see those books. So here's the question. Who's right and who's wrong? How do we know how many books are in the true canon? Well, you have to understand something. The Catholic view, Roman Catholic view, when it comes to the canon is this. Because they believe that the church is infallible, it is the infallible, it's God's infallible institution here on earth. Because that is the Catholic view, they believe that the church has the power to create or choose the canon, the books of the Bible. And therefore, they insist on the additional 14 books of the Apocrypha. Because again, the Catholic Church, when it comes to things like doctrine, scripture, and so forth, is infallible. The classical Protestant view says no, the church is not infallible. And therefore, the early church did not create or choose the canon, which books were to be included, which books were not to be included. Rather, the early church, listen very carefully now, received and recognized that which God intended to be in his canon. In other words, the early church didn't vote and say, okay, we think, let's show a hands here. How many people say the book of Revelation needs to be in the Bible, needs to be in the canon? And you have all kinds of hands go up and say, okay, majority vote. All right, Revelation. How many people think that the Gospel of Thomas needs to be in? People go, no hands go up. No, we're not going to include. That's not how it was done. That is not the classic Protestant view. We believe that the early church received and recognized that which God wanted in his canon. How? Three marks of canonicity, and we'll close here and pick this up on our next show. Mark number one, the early church needed to see if a letter came and people said, oh, this could be part of the canon. One of the marks that they looked for was this letter written by a known prophet or apostle or somebody closely associated with one, such as Luke, who wasn't an apostle or prophet, but he was very closely associated with Paul. Same with John Mark, one of the gospel writers. He wasn't an apostle or prophet, but very closely associated with Peter. So the first mark of canonicity is, was this letter written by a well-known prophet or apostle or somebody associated with. Second mark of canonicity. Does this letter in any way contradict, go against the clear teachings of books that have already been recognized and received into the canon? In other words, if a letter shows up, let's say it was supposedly from one of the apostles, Peter, let's say, and yet this letter, Peter is saying that you're saved by works, not by grace. Peter is saying that there is no resurrection. Peter is saying that only 120 people go to heaven and everybody else goes to purgatory. Well, those things are all completely contrary to the clear writings of Scripture. So if something contradicted those writings, they would not be received or recognized. So the first mark, is it a recognized prophet or apostle or somebody closely associated with them? Second mark, does the letter in any way contradict the very clear writings of the letters that have already been recognized and received? If it contradicted it, it wasn't recognized or received. Third mark of canonicity, did the early church recognize that this was inspired by God? Did the early church recognize, was there a majority belief? Again, not a vote here, but just a majority belief that, okay, A, we know the prophet or apostle. B, the writings are very clear. There's no controversy. This definitely is, lines up with the very clear, recognized, and received books of the canon. And by that case, those books then were received or recognized. In no way do we believe that the early church was infallible. In no way do we believe that the early church chose or created the canon. And therefore, in no way do we accept the 14 spurious books called the Apocrypha, which were added in after the Old Testament canon was closed. We do not agree with that. And therefore, we say we have the inspired, authoritative, objective, propositional revelation from God, 66 books of the Bible, 39 Old Testament, 27 New Testament, and we praise God for His grace. Look forward to talking to you on our next show as we get into this controversy. Is the canon open or is the canon closed? God bless you all.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.